Let's stop here and talk more about the motorboating
of the dick. Let's talk about the motorboating of the dick.
There is no way this happened.
Yep.
I don't even need to be shown proof.
Yep.
I could listen to 20 different people be like, I saw it with my own eyes.
Yep.
And I would say, no, the fuck you didn't.
Yeah.
Because that is crazy.
Yep.
The idea of someone in a club,
uh-huh,
fully clothed, a woman.
Yep.
Motorboating. Do you know anything about women?
Right.
Like Jax clearly does not understand women at all because
right,
he's... To him, this makes sense because
yep,
that's something a man would do.
Mm-hmm.
A woman wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you think a woman's going to motorboat a man's dick over his jeans at the club? Get serious.
I am the devil, and don't you forget it.
You're a whore with a mustache.
I take sketch comics very seriously.
A whore in beer.
I'm not sure what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. The only thing I have holding me back is that I have self-respect and dignity.
Pumpcast.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Pumpcast. I'm Maddie Drospec.
And I'm Meg Ruoco.
And Meg's about to have a really big Tuesday.
Dude.
I'm like, I'm so excited on behalf of Meg, and I'm not even involved.
I don't know how this has happened so early on into us doing this podcast.
It's beautiful.
But something is happening, and I believe it's because the universe is ultimately on our side and wants us to succeed.
Always.
I will be meeting one Miss Stassi Schroeder and one Miss Katie Maloney tomorrow.
Fucking crazy. I asked Meg, I'm like, what time is it happening? Because I'm going to be at home when the clock strikes.
Thinking
and
about
I'm going to be inside my head in my mind palace. Like, oh my God, Meg's there.
You'll be there.
Meg's there right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teleport.
What I wish more than anything is that I could just bring you.
I know.
I wish that for
put
that.
Put me in your
so,
pocket.
I wish for that so bad.
I'm a delivery guy.
Yeah.
I just show up. I'm like, hey, anybody order coffees?
You're wearing a mustache, though, even though nobody's ever seen you before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I, like, can't believe it. I was tasked with, like, prepping questions for this interview tomorrow and
for Meg's actual job
for
because
my, yeah,
we
for
have
actual job
we have actual jobs
as we have repeatedly mentioned on the show. We do have actual jobs. I am employed during the day.
Yes.
It's also, this is a real quick tangent, then we'll get back to the good stuff. It is so funny to me when I tell people, like, on like a Monday or a Tuesday, like, all right, I'm off to go record the podcast, and they go, you're recording the podcast tonight? When do you guys think we do this?
When?
And that's
when?
Actually, that's not even to,
that's not, and that's not
that's,
even your fault. We haven't
that's
told
not even
you.
Your fault. Like, but like, people close to me in my life are,
yeah,
like, you record the podcast then? I'm like, when do you think we do this? What do you mean?
Yes, it's 7:41 p.m. on a weeknight.
Yes, that's when we record the podcast because we have jobs during the day.
And usually the sun is coming down at the exact time we're recording, so we have to tape a blanket to my window.
And sometimes it goes really well, and a lot of times it goes bad.
So anyways, Meg will be interviewing Stassi and Katie for her actual job
tomorrow. I'm so excited, and I was tasked with, like, coming up with questions to ask them during the shoot, and wow, it was hard for me to come up with non-Vanderpump related questions.
I know.
All I wanted to ask them about was shit from season 3.
Totally.
And I was like, I get
we
that.
We actually have questions right now.
Like, I'm like, I get that they've moved on from something that
right,
happened like
but
12 years ago. We're actually in it right now.
Yeah, totally. I'm never moving on.
Yeah. No, I'm there. I'm still in the theater.
Completely.
They've brought cleaners in. They're cleaning up the popcorn. They're asking me to leave, but I'm still there.
Oh, the questions I'd love to ask.
The thing they did, one of the questions that I put was, did Stassi feel uniquely prepared to be a boy mom after having dated Jax Taylor? And was Katie Maloney able to provide advice having been married to Tom Schwartz?
I mean, that's incredible.
They did come back and they were like, let's not name those people specifically.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And I was like, that's fair. Yeah, I get that. But boy, do I want to ask that directly.
Yeah.
If we get them on the pod, because I will be giving them our business cards.
Oh, yeah. We made business cards months ago knowing that this would happen.
Because this was like tentative in the works for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was like finally locked. And we were like, even the slightest chance that we run into any of these
right,
guys, we're giving them business cards.
Totally.
Because that was really the one regret of meeting Lisa Vanderpump is that I didn't have a business card to just hand her.
Right.
And be like, love, would love to have you on the pod someday, queen.
All love. Invite us to the Vanderpump Hotel.
We would love to be there.
And we'll record a podcast there.
We will. We'll record a podcast at the Vanderpump Hotel. We'll record a podcast at House of Stassi.
We'll record a podcast really anywhere you ask
anywhere,
us to.
Anywhere, really. This is pretty portable in terms of what
we're just bring. Happy to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be in the room. Mm-hmm. And the best part about this is that you know we're going to say whatever the fuck we want to say regardless of where we are or who we're with.
This is the thing.
And that's really the beauty of this show.
Right. Neither of us are media trained. So it's not like we're going to like get in front of these guys and be like all polite and shit.
Come on.
Come on. But we'd be, of course, nicer to Stassi and Katie.
I'd be nicer to all the women than I would to the men.
100%. A Jax Taylor I would actively run away from.
Yeah, no, Jax, we'd need to have like a barrier wall in between.
Yeah.
We buy like COVID in, when like the in taxis. in prison or in taxis during COVID, you know.
Either or. I was thinking, yeah, kind of like through when they are on the phones through the window.
Yep.
It's like that. That's the only way we record that. Yeah. But I'm so excited. I'm going to lose my mind. I actually like I started looking at Katie's Instagram page today and I like started getting nervous. I started getting like flustered. I was like, my mind is drawing a complete blank of what to ask her, except like you're so hot.
Totally.
I have nothing else to say.
Hey, you're beautiful.
I love what you're doing, girl.
And of course, they are doing this to promote House of Stassi, which comes out this week. Which, exclusive, you might see us in there.
We might be featured.
Which is crazy, by the way. We received an email, it was like a month and a half ago at this point, asking if they could use a clip of the Pumpcast in House of Stassi. I guess they're doing, it was explained to me like they were doing a... I guess like fan clip roundup explaining sort of the best quotes and clips of Stassi from years previous.
Yep.
And they wanted to use the clip of us when we, our very first episode, when we got to the line, "I'm the devil and don't you forget it," which I was like, that's like the line.
I know.
So that's crazy that they wanted to use our clip for that. That's bananas bonkers.
Genuinely bananas bonkers. It just feels like we're getting seals of approval all around, which is really exciting.
In many ways, Meg is interviewing Stassi and Katie for her job for House of Stassi. And we're also like co-stars, if you really think about it.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, it's like we haven't gotten our residuals yet, but the show hasn't come out.
Listen, they're coming.
They're on their way, certainly. And it's, ultimately, it's just nice to be in the show.
Who knows? We'll see how we feel about House of Stassi. Maybe there'll be nothing to say, or maybe we'll come back next week and we'll have so much to say.
Maybe we will. Yeah. I mean, people have asked us like, please, can you comment on House of Stassi? And it's like, well, if we have something to say about it, we'll say something.
Surely we will say something.
Yeah. Here's my thing is like, you know, it seems like more and more these days, people are requesting for interrogative journalism to come back. You know, we have all of these light fluff interview shows these days. They've all got gimmicks. They're all asking silly questions. No. We're getting to the heart of it.
Yeah. I'm going to strap a shock collar to Tom Schwartz and tell him to make a pump teeny. And if he can't, every time he fucks it up, I'm going to shock him. That's the kind of journalism that I want to see.
Okay, so I don't know if that is journalism, really.
I'm figuring out if Schwartz can make a pump teeny.
That's true, under duress.
This is my journalism. So I'm just saying there's all sorts of things that we could cook up.
Yeah, we're taking...
And I'm willing to collaborate with the cast of Vanderpump if they let us take the lead.
Yeah, we have to ultimately take the wheel.
Yeah. Give me a shot.
Come on. Let us get in the mix.
Come on. I could do great things.
Yeah, we got lots of questions
for
you. Come on,
give me a chance.
Let us just ask you a couple of questions. It's not going to be too bad. Come
on. We just pitch it to them like the Eric Andre show.
This is kind of what I was thinking. I was like, if we go kind of like Zach Galifianakis between two ferns with it.
Exactly.
I feel like we could have a good show.
I agree.
So,
peek into the mind. Welcome to the Pumpcast. Shall we?
Let's go. An unflinching look at one Jax Taylor.
We're at Barkin' Bitches yet again.
Woof woof.
Let's freaking go. Ariana and both Toms are here because Schwartz wants to adopt a dog and he needs help choosing. We all make choices.
Here's the thing about this episode
is
that I'm going to need to really lock in on my giant size that I have towards Tom Schwartz in this episode because it will be 90% big size for me. Just know that whenever we're talking about Schwartz in this episode, I am sighing. Yeah.
No, he's pretty bad.
He's pretty bad.
This is a pretty bad episode for you, Schwartz.
This is a tough one, Schwartz. And we know you're listening. And ultimately, it's like we're happy to see that it seems like maybe you've improved somewhat. I don't know. We're just kind of just from cursory photos that we've seen. But but this wasn't a good look for you. I'll say that.
No, it wasn't, Schwartz.
So, yeah, Schwartz is getting a puppy, and he's like, you know, me and Katie have been talking about getting a puppy for a year and a half, but I just haven't been able to pull the trigger. And it's like, God, if that just doesn't sum up your whole fucking deal.
I know.
Your whole deal.
And he's like, well, and now that Katie keeps talking about, like, us moving towards getting engaged, and, you know, I've bombed my budding bartender career, I think getting the puppy will kind of buy me a year with the whole engagement ring stuff.
And Tom is like, dude, you shouldn't say that out loud.
And if Tom Sandoval knows that that's a bad idea, it's really bad.
Yeah. It's a really bad idea. And Schwartz, of course, is like, no. Yeah, of course. Like, I also want a dog, you know. And he's floundering. He keeps saying, I don't know what to do, and like running his hands through his hair and like really struggling. And then he adopts some dog named Gordo. And that's what happens in this scene.
Yep. Welcome to the show, Gordo.
Welcome, Gordo.
Catch you around.
Boof. Catch you on the flip. Boof.
We're insane. Yeah. Sheena's working. She's hard at work. Absolutely cleaning those glasses like no one has ever cleaned a glass before.
Yes.
And Lisa walks in, says her hellos, and shortly behind her follows Miss Stassi Schroeder.
Well, because she's, you know, she's taking her time away from Sir, and ultimately she never wants to go back there. Right. But at the same time, she'll be here today and also tomorrow, depending on what her schedule looks like.
She has to take her daily pilgrimage
to
Sir that she both hates and also absolutely has to do biologically.
Stassi in this scene and in every scene where she's coming back to Sir in this season is giving freshmen in college coming back to their choir class.
Yeah.
And
oh my God,
like,
it's crazy.
Being like, everything looks so small now.
I like used to stand right here on the risers.
It's crazy because it's like the alto section, like when I was here, it just was like, it was things were run so differently.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because it's like when you have strong leadership, like things just get done easier.
Yeah.
And like altos, I was listening to you. I was actually listening to you when you guys were singing The Circle of Life for your final senior performance. And I just feel like when you sing the like Not Zagonia part, like you guys can just kind of, you can belt. Like, don't be afraid to belt, I guess.
Don't be afraid. And like, it's also not really your fault because I can tell the song selection has been really off this year.
Yeah.
Like when we were here, we used to do like songs from Rent and like stuff that's a little bit more highbrow.
Right.
And now you guys are doing like the choral version of Spider Pig, which is tough, but we can't all like have they give the songs based on talent.
Right. It's based on talent. It's based on merit. And like, I guess it's just, it's hard because it's like last year our musical was literally Hadestown and this year our musical is literally How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. So it's like, you guys are suffering. But the thing is that like college is just, it's just different.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And like you can go
to God, Mr. Smith.
Oh my God, no way.
I can't even believe you're still here.
You're here?
This crazy guy. You guys don't even want to know the stories I have about him.
Oh my God. Don't drop the pitch pipe.
So anyways, that's what Stassi's
doing. That's what Stassi's doing.
She goes back to stir.
That's what Stassi's doing every single time she goes back to sir. And Lisa and Stassi sit down and they're having lunch and they have this incredibly planted conversation where they're just repeating the thing that they said last time, where Lisa's like, "So girl, how are you making your money, queen?" And Stassi's like, "I'm not." And she's like, "I have a great idea. It's just coming to me now.
Whoa.
I was asked to be photographed for the cover of Frontier Magazine, which, by the way, is a gay magazine. And it's actually pretty cool that I'm being one of the women photographed for this gay magazine.
Very big deal.
It's a very big deal. And ultimately, like, what if you styled me as an aspiring stylist?
And what if it was also tomorrow?
Right.
Chop, chop.
Get to it.
Your future awaits.
Opportunities don't just fall into your lap like this willy-nilly.
And Stassi's like, "Thank you so much for thinking of me. I'd love to style you." As if you'd ever wait till the day before a shoot to hire a stylist. I've had enough, Lisa Vanderpump.
You're telling me Lisa Vanderpump
waited till the day before? You cannot pull the wool over my eyes.
Yeah, Lisa, we know your tricks. We know your whole song and dance. Come on. And as they're talking about this, Sheena rocks up to the table because she's working at Sir, and she does not look at Stassi, looks directly at Lisa, and she's like, "Do you want something to drink, Lisa, and only Lisa?"
And Lisa's like, "Well, you probably would," and points to Stassi. And Sheena immediately chimes in and is like, "Well, she knows where the bar is." All smiley and bitchy. I fucking love it.
Here's the thing.
I love bitches. Yeah. I do. At the end of the day, I love a bitch.
Yeah.
I love when Sheena is a bitch.
Saying she knows where the bar is,
it's awesome,
is really fucking funny.
She knows where the bar is.
She knows to where your the boss. Bar is.
Saying to your boss, like, yeah, beefing with this girl through your boss is awesome.
So awesome. Sheena in this moment is like the junior that didn't have as much power the year that Stassi was there, but now that she's the senior,
exactly,
she's like, "Flinch, bitch."
My God, that's literally exactly the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, "Now I'm in charge. Now I'm the number one alto one."
Incredible.
Step up.
Oh my God. And Lisa's like, "She's sitting with me. She doesn't work here anymore. She is a customer." Mm-hmm. And then there's silence for a second. And Lisa's like, "Are you two talking to each other?" Sheena's like, "No." Lisa's like, "Okay. Why?" And Sheena tells her to ask Stassi. Stassi then turns to Sheena and gives us one of her most incredible lines.
So good.
She turns to Sheena and says, "I'm not really sure what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio." Sheena gives her the stankiest stank eye ever. It's fucking incredible.
It's so good. It's so good.
"You guys aren't talking?"
"No."
"Why?"
Ask Stassi.
"I don't know what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio." That's incredible.
That's so good.
This is like you have two top tier bitches in a bitch fight together. Yep. And like ultimately this is why we're here.
Yeah.
This is what dreams are made of. Mm-hmm. This is what makes life worth living.
Yeah. I'm here to witness this and exclusively this.
Beautiful.
24/7. And the only reason that Sheena doesn't like actively wring Stassi's neck in that moment is because she is working and she knows to lock the fuck in when she needs to. And so she's like, doesn't say anything and she just walks away.
Walks away to go place this goddamn order. And then the second Sheena's not there, Lisa turns to Stassi and she's like, "So what the hell's all that then? Oh my God, what's going on with you two?" And Stassi, you know, basically is like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. Last year, all that shit happened and she decided to be BFFs with Kristen."
Right.
"So she can go fuck herself."
Yeah.
And Lisa's basically like, "That sounds complicated."
Yeah. Like, "All right, not my problem. Bye."
"All right, bye, 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 bye." Sheena brings the drinks. Sheena brings the drinks. And Lisa literally gets them immediately. She's like, "Oh, well, I've got to go to pump." And Stassi's like, "Okay, great. Well, I'm going to stay here and make Sheena serve me dinner."
Yeah.
It's so great.
Okay, so poof. We are at Dr. Lake's office because Jax is getting some bullshit pulled out of his nose after his surgery.
Yeah.
And he is there with Tom Sandoval because Schwartz is busy with his dog.
Right.
And Jax goes, "You think that's a good idea? I'm doing that?"
This guy thinks that he is the one to analyze anyone else's decisions and whether they're good or bad.
This is why I love this cast so much. I love this cast so much because you couldn't write better characters than this. Because it's like every single writing class that you are in, you learn to like write someone that is deeply flawed but has like a really good reason for being that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like they really believe that the thing that they're doing is the right thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And like I've never seen it better symbolized in the Vanderpump than in the Vanderpump Rules cast. Because these are the worst people in the world. Jax Taylor, some of just one of the worst people you could ever stumble upon.
Mm-hmm.
And he, the minute that someone else does something wrong, he's like, "Huh, not how I would do it, but whatever, you know."
Yeah, some people are like really bad at decision making.
Yeah,
it's couldn't just be
like,
me.
Here's the thing: is it's like when you're in a bad relationship, like I haven't been, but it's like witnessing it. You just know when you got to cut it loose.
Totally,
you know.
Like I don't have respect for people who don't make those choices and, right, you know, follow that gut instinct.
Right. The idea that you keep going back to somebody and keep wanting to be in a relationship with them, even when it's not working. I personally, me, Jax Taylor, I would have no idea what that's like.
I just don't get it, really.
I don't get it. And actually, I have no patience for it, ultimately.
And Jax starts going off. He's like, "You know, Schwartz tells me all the time that he's not happy. And, you know, I know personally that Katie has done some questionable things. So I don't think a dog is going to help any of this."
And thus begins a new cycle of Jax planting a little rumor seed.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're kind of talking about how Schwartz and Katie's relationship is terrible, you know, Sandy is saying Schwartz keeps saying that Katie's putting pressure on him to get married and that Schwartz doesn't want to get married, all this stuff. Dr. Lake walks in. Beautiful man. Let's get him on the pod.
Dr. Lake.
Dr. Lake, we would love to have you on the pod.
We've got words.
You gorgeous guy. Let's get you on here. And he interrupts their conversation. He's like, "Hey, Jax, you know, how'd you handle the post-op? Did you follow all the instructions? Did you not drink? Did you not have sex with no strenuous activity?" And Jax goes, "It wasn't strenuous. She was on top."
He's such a loser.
And then they're all like, and as Dr. Lake is like pulling all of this bullshit out of Jax's nose to like, you know, fix him up or whatever, Tom Sandoval. It's so great. Tom Sandoval is just watching all of this happen with this like awful grimace on his face. He's just kind of like looking over and he's like,
"Ugh."
And it cuts to a talking head. And Tom Sandoval is like, "I genuinely cannot tell the difference between his old and new nose.
It looks literally exactly the same. So I have to assume that this man has just like a kink for pain post breakup with Stassi, because I can't imagine why he needed to elect to have this surgery."
And Jackson, a talking head, is like, "I'm amped. My nose is finally straight. It's never looked better. I'm super excited to take this baby out on the road," which is a hilarious way of saying, "I can't wait to do so much coke."
Totally. Yeah. So then they dap it up with the doctor. He leaves. And the second he leaves the room, Tom Sandoval is like, "Dude, that guy gets laid all the time."
And Jax is like, "Dude, you and I are the most heterosexual people ever. That's a good looking dude." He's a pilot, too.
I just like, I can't. And they go on like gushing about him. Like, "Do you think he knows how to play guitar?" They're like, "Actually, I think he's like ambidextrous in the way he plays guitar, bro. Like he can do it left or right. It doesn't fucking matter. That guy can do anything. I can just tell."
Having to like qualify this entire conversation with, "You and I, we are the straightest people you could possibly imagine.
We are so straight. Before we compliment another man, let us just say for the record that we, You just can't get straighter than us.
I'm looking at, you know, women constantly, and I'm taking them in, and I'm saying, okay, hot, boobs, tits, ass, love what's going on there.
Totally.
I don't even register men like that, no, dude.
I didn't even know what gay people were until I moved to Los Angeles, which wasn't even that long ago. Like, I really, like, I had no idea. Let me remind you, because I am straight, very straight.
It's like George Clooney, okay, that's just some guy.
Yeah.
Idris Elba, okay, I, whatever, if okay, you say fine. So. That said, I would suck Dr. Lake off, no questions asked, if he even looked at me a certain way.
It's just crazy. The second the doctor leaves to be like, yo, I can just tell that guy fucks. And it's like, also, that's such a weird way of being like, I'm
that guy's attractive.
That guy's like really hot and cool. He has to like liken it to how many women this guy gets.
Yes. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. It's so strange. Okay. So whatever. Jax and Tom are being gay at the doctor's. Boof. We're at Katie and Tom's apartment. Stassi and Katie are chatting about Stassi's apartment coming together. Katie's like, yeah, your apartment looks so nice. Like, it does, I don't even want to like stay in this apartment. I wouldn't even stay here anymore, except for my boyfriend who lives here. And I wrote down here, then how do we even explain this? This
it,
scene.
Truly, like, you kind of have to see it to understand
you
it.
You have to see it to understand it. I'll read out exactly what happens in this scene.
Uh-huh.
Katie and Stassi are on the couch in the living room. Tom Schwartz opens the front door, does not walk through it.
No.
Throws Gordo through the entrance, who runs in and like immediately runs around the corner and disappears off screen.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie and Stassi turn and they're like, hey, what?
What was that?
What was that? What was that? And then Schwartz walks in sheepishly and goes,
and he's like dragging his feet when he does it. He's like, like, I don't even, it was bizarre.
So
and he
weird.
Like, he doesn't even look towards them. It's like, imagine that Stassi and Katie are sitting where Meg and I are, and the front door is behind them.
Yes.
And the dog ran across.
Yeah.
So then Tom enters the room and then just goes across to where the dog ran. And
picks
they're both
up.
Sitting in the living room still like, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Picks up the dog, comes back around the corner, and Stassi and Katie are still like, what's going on? What's happening? Because Schwartz hasn't said anything
Nothing
yet.
At all.
And the first thing that Schwartz says is, it's a little old man.
Like, still not helping anyone understand who this dog is, what's going on, why is he here?
Who is that guy?
He's a little old man.
Katie's like, wait, what? What is that, our dog? And Stassi's freaking out, being like, oh my God, you guys got a dog. This is so exciting. And like, Schwartz never says.
Right. Katie's still confused. She like, it's clear she's like, she's holding herself back because she wants to be excited. But she's like, is it our dog or not?
Like, we don't actually know if it's our dog or not. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they finally realize, like, they put, you know, they're inferring, they're using their schema, and they finally realize that it is their dog. And Katie seemingly is very happy about this. She's really excited about the dog. And it, you know, takes Gordo into her arms and is kissing him and whatever. And Schwartz is like, yeah, isn't he cute? Like, he's so weird. He's got his little underbite and he's so strange. I just want to pause really quickly.
Mm.
If my partner brought home a dog without us talking about it.
Yeah.
And also just like picked some random dog day of, I would not be happy about that.
Neither would I.
I'd be pissed.
I'd be like, actually, I wanted to be involved in this process.
Yes. This is like a living creature that you've brought into our lives.
Right.
We have Schwartz had no idea how that dog would react to women. Had no idea. Like, this was a dog that he adopted.
Yeah.
Seemingly did no research about this at all.
Yeah.
Just like scooped a dog up, brought it home.
Incredible.
I also am just like, who's paying for that?
Yeah. True. True. Because he's jobless.
He's jobless. He's footless.
Saddling Katie. He's like, oh, by the way, we do have to go to Petco tonight and buy like all the stuff we need for
food.
The dog. So I hope you have stuff saved.
Does it have all of its shots? Like,
yeah.
No thought.
Yeah, it's definitely a big decision to make without Katie there. Even if you knew that Katie wanted a dog,
yeah,
to just surprise her with the dog out of nowhere is kind of crazy.
Insane. And Schwartz is happy. Katie's happy. Good for them, I guess. And Schwartz says in a talking head, if I knew getting a dog would make Katie this happy, I would have done it a long time ago.
And Katie pretty much immediately starts making jokes about how the dog's going to be their ring bearer. And it's like, you can sort of see in Schwartz's eyes, because he thought this was going to buy him more time, yeah, with the engagement. And it's literally the first thing she says. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think I got to go.
Yeah.
I think I have to go, actually. And Saucy's like, should we start making Pinterest boards, like bridal Pinterest boards? And he's like,
I got to go. Bye, 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 bye. Okay, so boof. Over to Sir. Lisa and Ken are walking up to the restaurant, and there is a really quick line that Lisa says where she goes, stop grabbing my ass.
Beautiful.
Which I think is just gorgeous. And in the back of the restaurant in Sir Alley, James and Kristen are walking up to the restaurant because Kristen's suspension is over, mm-hmm, and James got his job back. We are so back.
We're all back.
We are all back. Everyone is working a shift with everybody. They're working a shift with Tom and Ariana. Jax rocks up to the restaurant. He's got tape on his nose. And immediately Danny, the server, is like, whoa, what the fuck happened to you? Did you get a nose job? Ha ha ha. And Jax is like, yeah, I did. Totally did. And then Danny leaves and he immediately complains to Sandoval about how he's like, oh, like fucking 25 waitresses are going to come and ask me about my nose. It's just such bullshit. And Sandoval goes, dude, you're wearing a piece of tape on your nose. You want people to ask you about it. And Jackson's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, the tape's just here so that people know to like not come near me.
Yeah, not to like bump me.
He's wild.
He's so stupid.
He's like, yeah, I just put this thing of tape on my nose so people would know that I'm fragile, but nobody can say anything about it.
But don't talk about it. And Sandoval's like, you just want sympathy, man.
And he's like,
I do want sympathy.
Fucking guy.
And as the shifts are starting, Katie walks up to the bar. She's also working that night. And she's like, hey, Jax, how are you? And Jax, ever the drama queen, goes, I'm good. Not that you care, but yeah.
He's so fucking stupid.
Katie's like, it's not that I don't care. And Jax goes, well, I was in the hospital. I was actually in the hospital like Sheena was last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sheena and I actually weren't even friends last year. But it's funny because even I reached out to her then and asked her how she was doing. And, you know, I just can't ultimately believe that you didn't reach out to me and ask me how I was doing because I was in the hospital.
And it cuts to a confessional of Katie, and she's like, Jax thinks because he had self-elected cosmetic surgery that the world should stop. Like, I don't give a fuck about his nose job. Why would I text him about it? And also, it's so funny that Jax chooses to compare himself to Sheena.
Yep.
Which, famously, no one gave a fuck that Sheena was in the hospital.
Right.
And Sheena actually got injured.
Yes.
It wasn't like she got cosmetic surgery. If right. they don't care about Sheena's injury, then they for damn sure don't care about your nose job, Jax.
And this whole episode is just really interesting because the entire time you're just asking yourself the question, like, why does Jax give a fuck so much about Katie all
You
of
know
a
what?
Sudden?
I was thinking that too. And part of me, I wrote in my notes that I was like, is he just mad that Katie is the only woman here that doesn't want to fuck him?
Okay, that's a really good theory. That's a really good theory, actually. I had a different theory,
okay,
which is that Katie is one of the only people at the restaurant that Stassi likes.
Mm. Yeah, both.
Both.
Because I just feel like you look around and all the other women on the cast, except for Sheena, I guess, but even Sheena, even like Sheena starts eating Jax's ass.
Yeah, even Sheena and Jax have like a weird thing.
So I'm like, I think Katie's genuinely the only woman on that cast that truly does not give him the time of day, really, yeah, and just treats him like her boyfriend's friend.
Uh-huh.
And he's just kind of there and that's fine and whatever.
Again, the whole concept of being mad because you're ex-girlfriend's best friend didn't text you when you got a nose job.
Like, that's crazy.
Is crazy.
Get a grip.
Like, I don't talk to those motherfuckers at all.
And it's like, I wouldn't talk to my friend's ex even if they had a good breakup.
Yes.
this is the case where it was like the worst possible case scenario,
right,
of what surrounded this breakup. Of course, Stassi's best friend, Katie, doesn't give a fuck about your dumbass nose job.
Even if my best friend's ex-boyfriend was injured and had to go to the hospital, I'm still not reaching out to that person.
If it was a life-threatening injury, I still wouldn't reach out.
I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. And if Jax is making the argument of like, well, Katie and I were friends, you know, when we and Stassi were dating, it's like, yeah, because you were dating Stassi.
Right, that was Stassi's friend that you also hung out with.
Yes. And like your guy friend's girlfriend.
Right. I can't.
Oh my God, he's such a fucking bozo.
But he just like, he really wants attention.
He wants attention.
That's it.
And also for whatever reason, he has decided to like set his sights on Tom and Katie for the next calendar week, yeah. I guess. And Jax says to Katie, is it okay right now that you're even talking to me? Like, is it okay? Did you ask Stassi for permission? And Katie's like, okay, well, I came up to you and was trying to just have a normal conversation because of my boyfriend. So he isn't caught in the middle. And Jax, in a talking head, is like, it's so funny because they're saying the same fucking thing that they just don't give a fuck about each other. But like, Obviously Jax does. Jax is like, I don't care that Tom is Katie's boyfriend. I think their relationship's a sham. He's depressed all the time. And I think they shouldn't be together.
Like, he's raging out for what?
For what? And you know what? Weird. He did do the same thing with Sandoval and Kristen.
Yeah.
Like, he raged out about Sandoval and Kristen too. And I just like, I don't understand the like cognitive dissonance happening in his head that makes him feel like he is like the harbinger of breakups.
Yeah.
That he can be the one who's like, once that gavel comes down, it's decided you're broken up. It's like, Jax, you're a dumbass.
He's so funny.
Even if he is right. And totally. Katie and Schwartz should break up because they should. He's such a dumbass with no credibility.
Right.
That it's like, no one is going to take what you say seriously.
Right. And they should break up, but not for the reasons that Jax says.
Yes.
Like in Jax's mind, Katie's the problem and not Schwartz.
Yes.
When it's truly exactly the opposite.
Yep.
Not to say that Katie's perfect, but if we're looking at the two of them, Katie and Schwartz, Schwartz is the issue.
Yeah. If we're looking at the scoreboard here, it's about 600-1.
Right.
So. And Jax is like, yeah, Katie's a shrew. And it's like, okay, well, you're just misogynistic.
Right.
You did all of the math work wrong. Somehow you ended up with the right answer.
Yeah totally. it's by complete chance that we've ended up here.
You stumbled into the answer somehow, blindly. Meanwhile, in a different part of Sir, Kristen walks up to the table that Ken and Lisa are sitting at, and they are somehow dumbfounded that the girl that they didn't fire is still working at their restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa's like, oh,
you're back.
You're here.
Right. It's already been 2 weeks, huh?
Huh.
Crazy. Time really does fly.
And Kristen's like, yep, my suspension's up. So.
And Lisa basically reminds her, she's like, you're on thin ice, so keep it professional. One strike, you're out.
Kristen immediately goes on the defense. And she's like, well, you know, I did just want to say that I ultimately felt pretty disrespected at that meeting when Peter started yelling at me. And Lisa's like, that's so funny because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, she's like, so Peter is the manager and you have to respect him. Yeah. And I am going to continue to defer to whatever he says and thinks.
Mm-hmm. And Kristen's like, of course, of course.
Of course. Of course. Yes, yes, yes.
Of course. Of course. Bye. She leaves. And Lisa turns to Ken and is like, why do I give her another chance every time?
And Ken's like,
well, make it the last one. Make sure this one's the last.
Always this guy with the good, greatest commentary.
This guy, he brings the gavel down. I'm listening to him.
That's the big boss.
Back over at the bar, Jax cannot shut his fucking trap about his fucking nose job. He is talking to servers. He's talking to customers. He is telling everybody and their mother about his nose job. And Sheena walks up to the bar and is like, hey, I heard you and Katie talking earlier and I heard my name a bunch of times. So what was that about? Jax is like, okay, let me tell you exactly what happened.
He's like, okay, girl, let's catch up.
Jax loves to queen out.
No, he literally, and I love when Jax and Sheena's dynamic is honestly like, it's so entertaining to me because they make no sense. As friends, as acquaintances, in no context do they make any sense being friends with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I feel confused that Sheena seems blissfully unaware that in every timeline, Jax is your bully girl.
Yes.
Jax every is your time. Bully girl.
Yes. I don't understand it at all, but somehow they seem to be just vibing with each other. And Jax like retells the story of him and Katie just talking. And he's like, yeah. And I even asked, like, did Stassi approve of Katie talking to me? And Sheena goes, I wonder if Stassi gave her permission to motorboat that guy at the club that night.
And Jax was like, I wanted to go there. I wanted to say that straight to Katie. I was so close.
And I wrote down, hey, what?
What's all that then?
This whole plot line, which we will be talking about for the rest of the episode, is so deeply confounding to
me. It is bizarre.
I watched this episode so closely to try to figure out what the fuck they were talking about. It is beyond me, the concept of motorboating some guy's penis.
I don't know either.
That's not possible. More on this later. Jax, in a talking head, finally reveals what he believes to be a truth bomb. He goes, a few months ago, I was at a nightclub. I look over and just so happen to see Katie nuzzling another guy. She was what they call motorboating the crotch region of this gentleman. And it cuts back to Sheena and Jax at the Sir Bar, and Sheena's like hyping Jax up. She's like, yeah, dude. She was like, the dude was like standing up on the bar and she was like full on dick level. And Sheena, in a talking head, goes, people comment on Schwartz and Katie's Instagram photos like, oh my God, you guys are the cutest couple ever. Like, you have no idea. You want to be like me and Shay.
Sheena, queen.
The strange jealousy that Sheena has and like competitiveness that Sheena feels towards anyone else in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to watch.
It also is like, it's hard to see how little of an awareness Sheena has at both reading other people's body language and like picking up on social cues.
Yeah.
She truly cannot tell that most of these people don't like her.
Yeah.
Jax does not like her.
No.
As a reminder, like all of these people spent the better part of the last two seasons shit talking her.
Yeah.
She is only in with the boys now because of the falling out that Stassi, Katie, and Kristen had with them.
Yeah.
Jax just needs an ally.
Yes.
He just needs like another person on his side because he's like in the shit box with every single person in this restaurant.
Right.
And it's painful to watch Sheena want to be liked so badly that she'll even accept the illusion of being liked.
I know. It's really hard to watch.
It's like, that you guys are not friends.
No.
This is not your friend.
Jax doesn't give a fuck about you.
Do we know what a friend is?
Right. Jax is using you like a pawn.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's later at Sir, and Kristen is smoking during her break. And Jax comes up to her.
My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope. And you guys know I love a spicy read. But what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot, literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay, you're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight. But then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak at the knees, shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com.
And is like, hey, thanks for texting about my nose.
And he immediately starts raging to Kristen about how Katie didn't reach out to him. And Kristen's like, come on, did you honestly think she would? Like,
right.
Who even is she anymore, Jax? Like, honestly.
And he's like, no, I just think it's rude. Like, can we talk about also that she's lying right now? She's trying to get engaged. I don't know any people trying to get engaged who cheat on their boyfriends. Do you? I saw it with my own eyes.
And Kristen looks shocked at this information, which this is an incredible conversation to be coming from the CEO and VP of the cheating headquarters of America. Both of them looking absolutely disgusted and shocked at the idea of cheating.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
It's really beautiful. And we're going to, like, I'm going to ask these questions at some point here where, like, we're going to get to it, but just know that the entire time these conversations are happening, I'm kind of like, who care?
Yeah. All right.
But Kristen and Jax seem to care a lot. And Kristen confirms with Jax that Sheena texted Kristen about seeing Katie cheating on Schwartz, motorboating some guy's dick, which, again, the phrase eludes me.
Right.
And Kristen is like, all of these guys have been throwing stones at me. My entire life is completely fucked and I have nothing. So we just need to go for it and call them out and call Katie out for the cheater that she is. And Jax is like, yeah, for both of us.
And here's the thing that they don't seem to understand. Even if it was true, that does not somehow absolve them of the shitty things that they did.
Right. Right. Why do they think that it's like,
we would all still be reacting to you the same way?
Yes.
We're just now reacting to a new person the same way we are to you.
Right. You're not taking away a bad thing right. by bringing in another bad thing. It's not like the two negatives don't make a positive thing.
Right.
That's not how it works. And it's so, here's what I will say is like, it's so fun to watch a Kristen and Jax mess around because they're so stupid.
They really are.
Anytime they get together and like plan something, I'm like, I just know that it's going to go so poorly.
Yeah. So then Jax is like, yeah, me and Sheena saw it with our own eyes. Like, you know, it's credible information because there's two of us and she's going to deny it. But I'm looking out for my friend and I already told Tom, but he doesn't care. So I haven't brought this up to Katie. Okay. So Schwartz already knows.
And Kristen's like, well, there's only one thing we can do. I'm going to bring it up to Katie and she can either come clean or she can have the worst summer of her fucking life. And then she takes a giant sip of her drink that she's drinking at work when she just promised Lisa that she wouldn't drink at work anymore.
But it's like, how do they even think that this is going to be like some big gotcha moment when Schwartz already knows?
This is the thing. They don't care about that. They're literally just like, it's not even about that to them.
Right.
It's about
exposing,
proving that other people are, quote, just as bad as them.
Right.
Which is so funny because it's like, I'm sorry, but if we're comparing these two things together, one of them is worse.
One of them is way worse.
Way worse.
Okay. The alleged offense is that Katie motorboated some guy over the pants
right.
at a nightclub.
Right.
Your offense is that you were balls deep in Kristen Doty.
Let's compare these two things together.
Hey, so one seems really different than the other.
Let's put them on the scales. It's feathers and bricks, you guys. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I can't believe them. They are medically stupid.
Yeah.
So they cook up something big.
TBD on that.
We're at Villa Rosa, babe, and it's the big styling day.
Yeah, we're getting ready for Lisa's photo shoot. The theme is Greek goddess.
Stassi does approach Villa Rosa and almost get killed by a swan.
Yeah, because Lisa's house is home to like the... Anything that could live on the property does. And you'll be surprised every time.
Lisa's like fucking Dr. Doolittle. She is like gathering animals like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are they here? And no, who's taking care of them? I'm so curious.
Yeah.
Lisa and Stassi are going through Lisa's various options on what she could possibly wear to this photo shoot. And Stassi is already feeling a little taken advantage of. She, in a talking head, is like, Lisa's asked me to be her stylist, but let's be honest, she's going to wear what she wants to wear. I'm basically a glorified assistant and just like giving her compliments all day.
Mm-hmm.
And as they are picking out Lisa's outfit, they're talking about Sheena again. And Lisa's like, you guys really just need to sort it out. Which is like awful advice.
Okay.
And she's like, or you can run as far away from your friends as I did and never talk to them again.
Stassi's like, I picked that option. That. I'm going to do that. Duh.
There is also like an iconic line from Stassi here kind of intercut into this entire scene where she puts a tiara on her head and she goes, watch out, bitches. I'm back.
And so they're getting the styling done, but Lisa's already feeling a little frustrated at like Stassi acting like a kid at Christmas, trying mm-hmm. on hats and, you know, whatever else. And she's like, I wanted to be professional and really take this seriously.
Mm-hmm. And it is really funny because it's like these two ladies who are just the most stubborn, egotistical women in the world are like, so why isn't this woman thanking me?
Right. Stassi's in her confessional like, Lisa's making this out like a huge opportunity for me, but it's not like this is Audrey Hepburn's first Vogue cover. I'm literally dressing a dog with alopecia.
That's so awesome. I'm dressing a dog with alopecia.
And he slays.
And he slays.
So what are we going to do about it?
So, okay.
Okay, boof.
Okay, boof on that, I guess.
We're at the rooftop pool with Tom, Ariana, Shay, Sheena, and Peter.
Peter.
Jax does end up showing up in his favorite pink flannel.
He loves that thing.
He freaking loves this flannel, yeah. Dude. And he always wears it like in a sinister way.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like when I see him wear the pink flannel, I know something crazy's coming. I'm like, oh God, the pink flannel's here.
It's... honestly so true.
It's foreshadowing. So they're having a fun little day by the pool. Jax does show up in his pink flannel, immediately asks where Schwartz is, and it's revealed that Ariana invited Katie, but she didn't want to come because Sheena was going to be here, and basically Schwartz isn't allowed to come according to them. Sheena immediately chimes in and she's like, I just think it's annoying that because I'm here, Schwartz isn't allowed to come and hang out with all his friends. Like, grow up. And also at this point, here's the thing. That is obviously not a correct assessment of anything that's happening. And we don't even need to go over this again because we've been over it 100 times.
Yeah.
The thing I'm curious about is like, they love to make it out like Katie is such a follower of Stassi's and she doesn't have a backbone or a personality or like any opinions of her own. But at the same time, they want to talk about her like she's a fucking dictator.
Yep.
That tells Schwartz all of what he can or cannot do. So which is it? Is Katie a dictator that has Schwartz on a leash, or is she a complete follower with no backbone and no opinions of her own?
That is a really great point. That is a really great point.
Which is it?
Katie is just whoever they choose her to be at any God-given moment, yeah, just to fit whatever narrative they have about shit-talking her. And it's...
it's just they're shit-talking just to shit-talk.
Yes.
They don't even... like, their stories and reasons why they're mad or reasons why they hate Katie don't even keep up with themselves at this point. They are literally just in the mood to talk shit and saying words.
Yes. Yes, they are quite literally just saying words. And Sheena in a talking head is like, I don't know if Schwartz and Katie are really happy because he doesn't want to commit to marriage and she's getting drunk motorboating guys' dicks. So I don't know. Sheena. Okay. Hey, Sheena, flag on the play. Sheena. Hey, girl, this version of you is just a really tough version to watch.
Yeah.
And we don't love kind of what you're doing out on the field right now.
The whole guy's girl look is always going to be bad.
It's always bad. We understand why maybe you ended up here.
Yes.
Because you felt really rejected by the girls in these first couple of seasons. That said, the men that you're choosing to associate yourself with are some of the worst men that have ever walked the face of this earth.
They're truly so much worse than the women that were mean to you.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize enough that you've traded one bad for really fucking horrible.
And also, they don't give a fuck about you, girl.
Yeah, they're making fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, to your face, too, and you don't even realize it.
Right. Okay, let's check back in.
All right. Get back out there. They're basically
go show them what you got.
Still continuing to talk about how they're so confused that Katie wants to get married because their relationship isn't in a good place at all. They mentioned that Schwartz has talked about wanting to break up before, but he's chosen not to because it's too complicated and how intertwined their lives are. And then they briefly talk about Sheena having a shift at Sir tonight and her working with all of their favorite people, including Katie.
There is also a really brief shot in this scene of Tom Sandoval and Ariana licking tongues.
Yeah, I hated that.
And I just want to say, get that shit off my screen.
It was really bizarre.
Vanderpump editors from 2013, don't pull that shit again.
Yeah, I really didn't like it.
Don't do that.
Boof.
We're at Pump
and they're preparing for the photo shoot. And Lisa's like, where the fuck is Stassi? We took the same route. Like, how is she so far behind us? She has the fucking clothes. Stassi eventually does pull up with the clothes. The photographer starts giving her the rundown. And Stassi's in her confessional bitching about how hot it is and how horrible it was to lug clothes across town. She's like, I'm pretty much just Lisa's fluffer today.
Yeah, these men are like feeding Lisa grapes. Lisa's wearing a giant hat. And basically, as the photo shoot wraps up, both Lisa and Stassi are in talking heads being like, didn't even get a thank you.
Yeah, what was all that then? They're awesome.
They're so great. Two bitches being bitchy towards each other.
So boof. We're at Katie and Tom's apartment.
And Jax and Tom Sandoval are excited to play a little prank on their friend Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
They show up in trunks and wearing little like pool floaties and all this shit. And Schwartz opens the door and they spray him. And he's like, ah, guys, guys. He's like so happy. They're all so excited about each other. And the guys are like, where the fuck were you today, dude? And Schwartz is like, why? What? What happened? What happened? And they're like, you totally missed the pool day. And Schwartz is like, what? You guys went to the pool? Like, he didn't even... I got the sense from this scene that he didn't even know that they were going to the pool.
He's like, why? You guys went to the pool?
That sounds awesome.
Like, why didn't you guys invite me, man? How was it? Like, who was there? What happened? Tell me everything.
And they were like, dude, it is so fun when your bitch girlfriend isn't around.
And Schwartz is like, what? So was Sheena there shit talking Katie?
And they're like, no, she wasn't.
No.
She was.
Fully was. They all were.
That did happen.
And Schwartz is like, so you guys are all just like chilling and hanging out? Like, that's freaking awesome.
That's so cool. You know, I love to hang out. Guys,
what the hell?
I love hanging out. And they're like, yeah, like we could do that all the time if you broke up with your bitch girlfriend.
But it's honestly, it's crazy that Jax keeps saying shit like that, though. I'm like, what is his disease?
I don't know. I don't know, like, what evil thing is happening in his brain that makes him keep doing this. And Schwartz is like, guys, things are actually good between me and Katie right now.
Wait, Jax does something so fucking crazy, too. He, like, picks up Gordo and he's like, this is your last summer living here, buddy. Come fall, you're going to be moving out. It's going to be you and Tom all by yourselves.
It's like, that's insane.
She's psychotic.
That's such an insane thing to do.
He's so insane. And Schwartz is like, guys, like, stop. Like, things are good between me and Katie right now. Like, please just let me enjoy this. And Jax is like, things won't be good once I confront her about her cheating scandal.
Jax is like, not if I have anything to do with it.
Gordo's going bye-bye.
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 Wait, I'm going to break up
your parents, Gordo. Okay, they're going to get in a custody battle over your ass.
If I can't be happy, no one is happy.
I'm giving this dog trauma as we speak, okay?
Can you say trauma?
Trauma.
Gordo, you're going to go through a divorce, babe.
Oh my God, your parents are getting divorced because they don't love you.
Like, Jax is like the older sibling that's looking at the younger sibling like, you're fucking adopted. You're fucking adopted and our parents hate you. He's doing that to the dog.
Have you ever read the graphic novel Watchmen?
No.
Okay. I'm going to spoil it right now. So in case anybody's been holding out on reading Watchmen, a graphic novel that came out years and years ago.
Skip ahead.
There is a villain in Watchmen who, towards the end of the book, is giving this really long speech about how like humanity deserves to suffer, basically. And he's like monologuing at these superheroes. And he basically is going to like nuke an entire city. And all the superheroes at the end of his monologue is like, why did you just tell us your entire plan if we're just going to stop you? And he goes, stop me. I sent those nukes 20 minutes ago. And they realize that they're fucked. Jax is that guy. Jax is like monologuing. He is doing like an evil villain monologue. And for whatever reason, the guys are like, that's just Jax being crazy.
Classic Jax.
And he's
on.
Like, I'm going to end your relationship. I've already set the wheels in motion.
Totally. And Schwartz is reiterating. He's like, I do not care.
Yes.
Like, I can't express to you enough. I cannot express to you enough. I personally don't even believe it's true.
Yes.
I don't believe that Katie is a cheater. She told me that nothing happened, so I believe her. And even if it did happen, like, I still don't care.
Yeah.
Because I
have already chosen to forgive her.
I would believe that it is a drunken mistake and not an indication of her character.
Right.
And Jax continues to like run it over in circles. He's like, how would it be a rumor if five of us saw it? And you know, Sheena also saw they were kissing on each other's necks. And then Katie put her face in the crotch region and motorboated his dick. Which, let's stop here and talk more about the motorboating
of the
dick.
Let's talk about the motorboating of the dick.
There is no way this happened.
Yep.
I don't even need to be shown proof.
Yep.
I could listen to 20 different people be like, I saw it with my own eyes.
Yep.
And I would say, no, the fuck you didn't.
Yep.
Because that is crazy.
Yep.
The idea of someone in a club,
uh-huh,
fully clothed, a woman.
Yep.
Motorboating. Do you know anything about women?
Right.
Like, Jax clearly does not understand women at all because he's... To him, this makes sense because that's something a man would do.
Mm-hmm.
A woman wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you think a woman's going to motorboat a man's dick over his jeans at the club? Get serious.
I am also...
Women wouldn't... That's not hot.
I'm also like, let's say for a second that all of this happened. That Katie did that. That she went blah, 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 over some guy's pants.
That is crazy.
I don't even know if I would constitute that as cheating.
I would be so confused if I saw someone do that. I'd be like, well, that was really bizarre.
I would just be like, that's weird. And
weird
keep it
joke.
Pushing.
Right.
I don't even think that that constitutes as cheating.
Because it would be so outlandish that you would assume that it was like a joke.
Goof. I don't think.
You think that it just in public at the club, Katie, while knowing everybody that she knows is here, puts her face in some man's crotch? Come on!
I'm thinking about even the physics of it.
That didn't happen.
And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And but again, I'm like,
I really feel like this is such an indication that Jax made it up.
This is such a stretch.
This is like a Jax fantasy.
Right.
This is a man cooked up fantasy.
Right.
A woman wouldn't do this.
Right. Because already motorboating, not a sexy act.
No.
It quite literally requires you to make a sound like a Looney Tune.
It's horrible.
No, like that's what you're doing.
Recently motorboated by a stripper, and I talked about this on the post show.
Yeah.
And it was jarring.
It's like, whoa.
It was completely jarring.
There's a part of me that really, I feel lucky that I just don't think I'll ever physically be able to have that happen with what I've got going on. Like, I feel like I've dodged a bullet in that
sense. Well, apparently we can motorboat anything.
Anything.
Okay.
Okay. Boof.
We're it, sir. Katie's serving up some cocktails. Kristen's at work. The place is popping. Kristen's in her confessional. Like, so Katie's been avoiding me like the plague. And I'm not too proud to admit that I do miss our friendship. So I'm going to talk to her. Cut to Sir Alley. Katie is sitting outside, presumably on break, and Kristen looks like she's sort of clocking out for the day.
Mm-hmm.
She goes outside, sits down next to Katie to smoke, and they're both just sitting quietly on their phones until Kristen breaks the silence and is like, well, this is awkward.
She also, it's really funny because like in a talking head after she says, I miss my friendship with her, she, as she's like sitting in silence with Katie, then says in a talking head, I guess Katie has so many friends these days, she can just toss anyone she wants to the curb. And it's like, no, it's not about that.
Right.
It's about the fact that you fucked Jax.
Right.
Remember that?
Hey, remember when you fucked Jax?
Do you remember that? I feel like we don't remember that.
Yeah. And in response to Kristen calling it awkward, Katie's like, yeah, it is what it is. We work together. So what are you going to do? And Katie's like, our friendship was not good, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
We were fighting a lot even before any of the shit happened with Stassi and Jax. Like, our friendship was not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with Stassi. There were problems that existed before all of this happened. And Kristen immediately butts in like, well, why do you hang out with Sandoval and Ariana then? Because you know that he cheated on me 5 times. And Katie is super fucking frustrated at this, which I understand because I would be frustrated too. She's like, I'm not fucking friends with Sandoval. My boyfriend is best friends with Sandoval.
Yes.
And so I'm just around him as a result of that.
Right.
And also, he is not as important to me as you are. And at the time, like, Sandoval has never been a bestie of mine.
Yes.
When all of that happened, obviously, I thought it was disgusting, but Sandoval and I have never been like this.
Right.
I didn't really care about him the way I cared about you.
Yes.
You were my friend. I expected more of you.
Uh-huh.
There was something genuine there between us.
Mm-hmm.
Sandoval, there was never that with him.
No. And Kristen's not listening to a fucking word of this. She literally, in a talking head, just goes, you know, Katie really shouldn't be judging anyone considering she's also lying and cheating. So, okay. So, Kristen, listen with your ears and look with your eyes at what is happening and what is being said in front of you. This isn't about who's also a liar and a cheater.
No.
This is about the fact that you have fundamentally betrayed two of the closest people in your life to fuck some sociopath who doesn't care about anybody, and they are now responding in a completely normal way.
Yeah.
By choosing to not be friends with you anymore, and you're like, I can't believe that because a certain amount of time has passed, you won't be friends with me anymore.
What the hell is all that about?
And so instead of responding to anything that Katie just said, Kristen immediately brings up the motorboating the dick thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie is just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. She's
Shut up.
I did not cheat on Schwartz. I never cheated on Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to cheat on him, do you really think I'd do it in front of Jax and Sheena and Shay and Peter?
Right.
And Kristen's like, I mean, you were hammered. Who knows what you would do? And Katie's like, I was talking to my friend mm-hmm. and he wanted to do a photo shoot with the two of us. Mm-hmm. There was no motorboating that happened. I was taking my shoes off. Mm-hmm. I bent over to take my shoes off. My friend wanted to do some, I don't know what the context of this is.
Me either.
My friend wanted to do a photo shoot and so we took our shoes off. Somehow that was misconstrued as motorboating a dick. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't understand any of these explanations, to be honest with you.
Even if I am of the mindset of like, even if Katie is lying and she did motorboat some guy's dick or whatever, I actually don't give a fuck because, and they say this later that if Katie did do that, she was likely blackout drunk.
Yeah.
And hey, it's of my opinion and the law's opinion that if you are blackout drunk, you actually can't consent to doing that shit.
Yeah.
So if Katie was doing that and she was blackout drunk, I don't care. Sorry, I don't care. This whole thing doesn't matter to me.
No.
They are acting as though Katie actively fucked Tom Sandoval in front of everybody right. at the club.
It's just like so clearly them trying to divert attention away from what they've done.
Yes.
And Kristen's in her confessional like, this is just hypocrisy at its finest. And the lengths that she is going to try to act like Katie has done something wrong or equally as bad as what she's done, the only thing it's doing is actively convincing us that any remorse that she has shown has been completely for show.
Yes. Yes. And that it was all just to try to get things back to stasis and not because she actually felt any sort of remorse.
Yeah. And Katie walks away from that conversation like, this is exactly why we're not friends.
Yeah.
So boof.
Working at the car wash. Car wash, Kristen and James are washing James's Beamer.
And like playing with the hose and flirting in like a way that makes me very uncomfortable.
Like rubbing her tits and ass against the car. And James is like, oh yeah, I love it when you do that.
Oh God, it's so bad. And then James in his confessional is like, just so everyone knows, not only did Kristen say that I was better in bed than Tom, but she also said that I had a substantially bigger penis than him. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Skinny Penis. Like, enough.
Enough about that. I don't care. I don't care. I know that you guys are all rocking some tiny little schlongs over there, and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't, and honestly, I cannot deal with how much emphasis men put on this.
It's so,
or they're like stupid. They care about dick size more than anyone else does.
Yes. It is so stupid. And it's like, why are we in a quite literal dick measuring contest?
Nobody cares.
Nobody gives a fuck, dude. Like, okay.
So boof.
Boof, I guess.
We're at a cafe where Stassi, Christina, and Katie are getting brunch.
Thank God.
Stassi's recapping her day with Lisa, still trying to get her to be friends with Sheena. And Katie's like, you know what? I've got a little update for you guys. Surprisingly, I had a conversation with Kristen at work and she went into talking about why I'm not friends with her and blah, blah, blah. That's because I'm up Stassi's ass, whatever. And Katie's like, this is strange to me because I've had like a very neutral relationship with them over the last 9 months. Absolutely nothing has changed, but Stassi coming back into town has kicked up like a dust storm mm-hmm. for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then Katie tells them that Kristen accused her of cheating on Schwartz because Sheena and Jax say that they saw it with their own two eyes. And Stassi and Christina look fucking shocked. Stassi's like, after learning about the motorboating a dick, Stassi's like, do people even do that?
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's the only appropriate reaction to hearing that.
Right. Like, what?
What are you even talking about?
What are you talking about?
Jax made this up.
Right.
100%. Jax, this is cooked up from the mind of Jax Taylor.
Yes. Yes. And as they're kind of talking about it, Stassi is like, you know, I just kind of wonder, like, how do you feel about Schwartz continuing to hang out with all these guys? Like, why doesn't Schwartz care that his friends are like constantly shit talking you? And Katie kind of chimes in and she's like, I don't know, like I think maybe this just started, like it really hasn't been this bad up until now, blah, blah, blah. And Stassi's like, I don't care about any of this. Like, you have to cut the bullshit. It should either be you or Jax. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like, continue talking about, like, the rumor that has been started about Katie motorboating a person's dick. And Stassi's like, these guys are insane. Like, just because they cheat all the time doesn't mean everyone else does. Like, that is not normal. Yeah. And thank God someone said it.
Right. For most of us, the, like, conversation of cheating actually doesn't come up all that often.
No.
If ever.
Right.
Because most people... Don't be doing shit like that.
Yeah, they're just not doing that.
That's just like not a conflict that's on the table.
Yeah, they, for whatever reason, have created some weird vortex in LA where they are constantly in this swirling cycle of cheating, but that doesn't happen everywhere else.
No.
Meanwhile, the boys are bike riding.
Yeah.
And Schwartz is like, this is awesome, man. We're all on the up and up. Jax, you don't have your license anymore. And Jax is like, aw, man, why'd you bring that up? Don't bring that up.
Like, God, yeah, my dad forgot to pay my insurance again.
And the Toms are like, dude, don't say that out loud. That's really sad to hear.
They're like, isn't that the reason you went to jail? That you were driving without insurance?
And Jax is like, 34, still under my parents' insurance. I've lasted longer than most people.
I fucking hate him. And he's like, okay. Topic switch. Immediately talking about something else. Jax is like, you know, I've thought a lot about the Katie situation since yesterday, and I've decided that I'm not going to get involved anymore because this is none of my business. But I would just like to add one final time that if she did admit it, which I would love, I would let it all go.
I will not be getting involved. I will not be talking about it. That said, ultimately, she does need to apologize to me and to everybody else, and then I will let it go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm letting it go, except before that, she needs to admit to her wrongdoings.
And then I will let it all go.
So, but I'm letting you guys know that I'm pre-letting it all go. It's about to be let go.
She, Katie, just has to admit to everything that I've accused her of.
Depending on Katie verifying my rumor or not.
Cut back to the girls at brunch, and they're making jokes that they need to come up with better rumors, like they're all lesbians or something.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha ha. And then Katie opens up her phone and sees Schwartz post on Instagram, the boys on their bikes, and then Schwartz texts Katie that they're coming to brunch. Stassi and Christina are immediately like, bye. We're leaving. And so boof, a little later, the boys show up on their bikes. Jax and Tom go inside to order, and Katie and Schwartz sit outside together at the table. And Katie is asking Schwartz what they talked about while they were biking. And he's like, nothing. And she's like, okay, well, obviously it's not nothing.
Yeah.
Why do you keep hanging out with people who trash me?
Yep. And he's like, they're not trashing you.
Right. It's like, it's not you. It's just like this one instance.
They
it's
don't
not
trash
like you,
you
in general.
Yeah, like on a regular basis.
Totally. And Katie's like, okay, well, they are now. And Schwartz is like, okay, well, it's not they. Let's be specific. It's Jax.
Which is a lie.
It is both of them.
It's both. It's all of them.
It's all of them. It's also Sheena.
Yep.
It's the whole fucking group. Okay.
And Schwartz, in a talking head, is trying to convince himself that maybe Jax is just doing all of this because he's jealous that Schwartz spends so much time with Katie. Like, even Schwartz is like, I genuinely do not understand why Jax is going so hard with this whole Katie motorboating a guy's dick thing. And as Katie and Schwartz are kind of talking about this, Tom and Jax rejoin the table, and Katie then, in a talking head, is kind of discussing like that she's genuinely like astounded at Jax's audacity, that they could show up, he could crash her brunch and her meal, get some meal and sit down across from her just like chomping on fries, mm-hmm. when she knows and he knows that she knows that he has started this completely false rumor and like is trying to shit talk her and actively break up her relationship.
Brave.
And so Katie basically, and they're all kind of like sitting in silence, and Katie's like, Okay, so, hey, why were you guys all shit-talking me at that pool party?
Yeah.
And Jackson's like, this isn't bullshit. I saw it with my own two eyes. He's like, I saw it.
And Katie's like, be fucking serious.
And what ensues is just an absolute clusterfuck
of
Jax continuously popping French fries into his mouth and just repeatedly going, you're a cheater. You're a cheater. You're a cheater. Open I don't know mouth, what else to say.
Open mouth chewing the whole time.
You're
like,
a cheater.
Yes, like, I'm not lying. I've never lied before. And why would I lie about it? I have nothing to lie about. You're just a cheater and you can't admit it. And what are we going to do about that then? Okay, well.
And Sandoval keeps trying to be like, guys, cool off.
Shut up.
Come on.
Shut up.
Shut up.
You're talking too loud.
Everybody shut up right now. We're in public right now.
Come on.
Shut up.
Jax is still like, what am I lying about? Why am I lying? I'm lying. Why would I lie?
And Katie's like, Jax, you crashed this. Like, you came here. Right. Just leave. And he goes, me leave? You leave. You're not even wanted here. Nobody fucking wants you here. And Katie's like, nobody wants me here? Really? And Schwartz is just sitting there silently.
Tom, we know you're here.
We know you've improved over the past decade, or maybe, I don't, again, based on just pictures we've seen or something like that. I don't really know. Whatever. Tom?
I love, that's like an inside joke between you and me that we're never going to explain. But anyways,
Schwartz,
back to what matters.
Listen, this behavior is not okay. Okay? No. We don't like what you're doing out there.
Schwartz, I've already talked about the shock collar.
Yeah. Don't make Maddie bring out the shock collar.
Don't make me buy two shock collars.
You okay? Don't want to know where the other one goes. Okay, let's get back to it.
Now they're all on the same page.
Yay. Jax is still adamant, saying that Katie cheated, that he saw it. Schwartz finally, ever so quietly, ever the little mouse with a cookie, saying, guys, stop. It's over. We're happy. And Katie, in a talking head, says, I have been wanting my boyfriend to fucking man up and prove that he cares about me. And he is just sitting there saying nothing while his two friends swear at me and call our relationship a fucking joke.
As if he hasn't done enough already, Schwartz then has the audacity to yell at Katie.
Uh-huh.
And yell at her like, stop giving this attention. The more attention you give it, the more of a problem it is.
What?
That is crazy.
That's crazy, Schwartz.
You are just, you're watching your two guy friends. You're watching Tom and Jax yell at your girlfriend. And in watching and reacting to that, your assessment is to then get mad at Katie for standing up for herself, which you won't help her with at all. You're going to yell at her? This is just like blatant misogyny. It's actually so stressful to me to watch.
No, it genuinely is so stressful for me to watch. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I just don't even see a world in which this was happening to me. And like, if people were like yelling or swearing at just like a friend of mine, that I would react that way.
No,
there's in no world am I reacting that way towards someone being like actively bullied right in front of me.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
I feel like I'm losing my mind watching this.
Yeah. So Katie's like, this is turning into a big old gang up. So enjoy yourselves. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then on her way out, Jax shouts at her like, say hi to Stassi for me. I'm going to kill him with a gun.
I swear to God.
So then Schwartz is like, all right, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to follow her. I'm going to go talk to Katie. And Jax is still on it. And he's like, you fucking live with her, man. You can talk to her anytime. What is wrong with him? Katie's crying.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, Schwartz walks over to talk to her. And she's like, why do you hang out with people who speak to me that way? And Schwartz immediately starts going with this, no, Bubba, Bubba, I love you. And like, Bubba, you got to be honest. Like, you did instigate it. No, she didn't.
No.
She brought it up. And then Jax behaved like an absolute fucking child. And she defended herself.
Yes.
Which she's allowed to do.
Yes. And Katie's like, I am being called a liar and a cheater, which I am not. And that hurts. It hurts my feelings. And Schwartz is like, well, listen, I'm not stressed about it. Isn't that all that matters? And it's like, no, actually, that's not the issue. At this point, that's well past the issue. Right. I don't care if you don't care that your girlfriend may or may not have cheated on you. What's happening right now is that your girlfriend is being actively bullied right. by your friends.
It's not about the specifics of what she's being accused of.
Right.
It's how she's being spoken to and treated.
Yes. And he is like sitting there complaining. He's like, all right, I'm going to go eat a sandwich, or at least I'll try to. My stomach is in freaking knots because of that whole altercation. And it's like, wow, you are pathetic. And he leaves. He leaves Katie. Yeah. The fact that he then goes back to his friends to like eat a fucking sandwich.
Wild. Wild work, Schwartz.
Wow.
Schwartz comes back to the table and Jax is like, I just need you to know that I didn't start it.
Who cares?
Who cares? You are 34 years old and we're worried about going, oh, he started it, she started it, he started it. Are you 11?
Yeah.
Are you 11?
Right. Also, when Tom comes back, he is actively mocking Katie.
Crazy.
He does gestures as if to mock Katie and the fact that she's like upset and crying.
I can't.
The fact that he feels that he needs to like big dog his own girlfriend yeah. to feel more macho in front of his loser friends.
Yeah.
It is, wow, the pathetic squad is just like out and about today.
And also like... Even if Jax didn't start that conversation, you did start the rumor, babe.
Yes.
So ultimately, it is you who started it.
Yes.
All roads lead back to Jax Taylor.
Yeah. And Schwartz sits down and he's saying to Sandoval and Jax, he's like, Katie just feels like she's being attacked. But, you know, it's not worth my time or energy to investigate that. I don't care.
And Sandoval's like, well, you should care. It's more about the honesty thing, which, again, really ironic coming from the mouth of Tom Sandoval.
This is what's so crazy. And Schwartz even says, he's like, I know Katie isn't a cheater. She's not. If this was an ongoing thing, she was like getting banged constantly and constantly motorboating dicks or whatever, then yes, maybe it'd be a problem. But she was probably borderline blackout and it was a drunken thing and like, whatever, who cares? And the guys are like, you don't want her to be honest? You don't want her to come clean? And then Schwartz has one kernel where yeah. I'm like, follow that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, follow that.
Yep.
He goes, you guys can't say just admit it. Would we admit it?
Exactly.
Met with utter silence.
They're all like,
And he goes, fuck no. Why didn't he just say that from the beginning?
Right.
Why did it take this long? And also, not even in front of Katie.
Right.
To not even defend her, but just make one salient point of, you guys are fucking hypocrites.
Right.
You're acting like this is the biggest fucking thing in the world.
I know.
You've cheated on your girlfriend multiple times. You cheated on your girlfriend with his girlfriend multiple times. And you deny. Why is it that if Katie does this thing, she then has to come clean or she's like this lying whore?
I honestly feel like the only reason why that wasn't said is because Schwartz knows that they know that he's cheated on Katie.
Yep. This fucking group of guys.
I can't.
Terrorists.
They literally are.
They are terrorists.
Oh my God. That's the end of the episode.
That's it.
That's it. Bye. 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 Should we just end it there?
Yeah, should we? That is funny.